All right. I'm going to talk so quickly now because washing in the pool of Siloam 3, the inaccurately named two-part series. We've been looking at living an apostolic life. Go, he said, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means the sent one. Go and wash in the sent, in the waters of the sent ones. And he came home saying, we have been examining this reality that when a church does not live under an apostolic mandate, it gets into a shepherding mandate. It gets into a what's in it for me. I begin to think that the church exists to meet my needs. Which when Barna did it about 15 years ago, 87% of the United States said the church exists to meet my needs. Yes. And that's not what you get when you have an apostolic household. In an apostolic household, we understand that the church exists to be a launching pad, to send people into the destiny of God's call on their life. It changes the way you think. And so there's a viewpoint that I think the Lord is stirring amongst us. And I'm under a little conviction myself that I've done a poor job of outlining what is to me the most obvious and common thing that should be in churches. We are an apostolic household and we have an apostolic mandate on us to go. We've understood that we are being given time to catch up with the apostolic call on this house. I believe that was the prophetic word to us. It's what I feel like the Lord is quickening to me at this time. We are being given an opportunity by the Lord. He's being very kind and patient to catch up, to get on the agenda of the apostolic call of God on this house. And we've had multiple people whom I recognize prophetically who've come and stood on the stage without reference to one another and have called out and said, this is an apostolic church. You are called to an apostolic thing. And we've looked at the fact that God is an apostolic God. He sent his prophets, he sends his angels, he sends his word, he sent his son, he sent his spirit, and now he's sending the church. God is a sending God. The Greek word apostello means to send. And apostolos means the apostle is a sent one. God is a sending God. He sets people on mission and on commission. And we have the radical mandate to replace the present world order with the government of God. An apostle was somebody in the Greek and Roman world who was sent. He was usually a general in the army, sent ahead of the army to go and colonize a place. So the Roman army would take over an area and then they would send an apostle. And he would land and he would create the culture of the Roman and Greek culture. He would build straight streets and they would put up a Roman bath and they would have, a Roman kind of Colosseum kind of place. And then they would have all the Roman culture and the law of the Romans. That apostle was sent to establish the culture, the Roman culture. It was called the apostle. And so when the church writes and Paul uses, he borrows the concept, God has called apostles, those who are given the responsibility to see to it that the culture of the kingdom is established on the earth. And we are an apostolic house, demonstrating God's kindness and goodness to a world that knows they don't deserve it. Let me just talk quickly about the provocative gifts of God, because some question, well, if we're an apostolic household, does that mean we're all apostles? Because if you say the word apostle means the sent one, well, if we're all sent one, are we all apostles? No, I think there's some very distinctive issues in the scripture. Don't have time to get into that, but there are some people who are called to the office of apostle, and they have a very distinct role and calling. And the first sign of the apostles is that miracles are done with regularity through their lives. And so, but I want to talk about the concept of the provocative gifts of God, because we're all called to share the good news, but some are called to the office of the evangelist. Make sense? We share the mandate to love one another, but some are called as pastors, set aside into the office. Scriptures say that all of us must offer hospitality without grumbling, but some people are graced with the gift of hospitality. That means all of us are going to be hospitable, but some of us are going to be really good at it. Right? We're all supposed to encourage one another. The Bible says encourage one another daily as you see the day approaching. But some people are graced with the gift of encouragement. We're called to go into the whole world and make disciples of all the nations, but some are called to be apostles. See, God, when he gives gifts into the life of a local body, he equips and sets some people in place, the provocative gifts of God. Their job is to equip. If they're in the dome of gifting, if they're apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, they are given primarily to equip others to do what they themselves are doing. And the grace gifts that we function in all have this ability to be infectious. When I start to function in my grace, what happens is people around me start to function in their grace. It's interesting to me, if you get somebody up with a strong prophetic gift and they start prophesying, give it 2 weeks, everybody's got a prophetic word. I realize this because when I go and preach out, and then I preach and I teach, and then people get up and they take the microphone and they teach for 10 minutes. And then they teach, and I said, "Teacher Michelle, man, everybody's a teacher." She goes, "Yeah." Because when you function as a teacher, part of the grace on the gift of a teacher is to spread the gift of teaching. So it's my cross to bear. Whenever I go somewhere, people always teach me stuff. I go, that's my thing. It's what I do. Because my grace, when I function in the grace of God in my life, it becomes provocative to them. It stirs up that gifting in others. Are you checking with me? So when we're talking about, there is a call on our house as an apostolic call. There are some apostles in the house. But not all of us are apostles, but because there are some apostles in the house, that apostolic call becomes infectious. There are many of us who are going to travel, and we're going to go together. We're going to minister together. There are teams of skilled people who are going to travel from this church and minister around the world. It's very, very exciting. We're on an apostolic house, and God's giving you an opportunity. Now, the simple truth is, not everybody is going to be able to travel. Not everybody's going to be able to go. Not everybody's going to be able to preach, but some are. But every single one of us is being called and asked to join in the apostolic mandate on this house. So if you're part of this house, I want to submit to you three ways that you can be part of it with us. Number one is what I call the partnership by groaning. You can pray with us. Partnership by groaning. We don't know what we should pray, but the Holy Spirit helps us with words, with groanings that words cannot express. There is prayer that is necessary. And as I began, just a very, very cursory view in the scriptures, not hard to come to see that there is this mandate on the church. And so when you, especially Paul, when you start to read Paul, because he's traveling apostolically, Paul writes to the church and he says there are a number of things that he's praying. There are apostolic prayers on behalf of the church, and I'm not going to go into those, but then there are apostolic asks from the church. Paul writes to the church and says, please, could you pray for me? Could you pray about these things? So I want to just talk about that, because one of the ways you can partner with us, well, Greg, I can't go, and I don't perhaps have anything else to do or to give, but you can pray. You can partner with us. So Paul says this, pray always. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people in Ephesians. Devote yourselves to prayer in Colossians. Pray continually in Thessalonians. This is Paul's prayer. But the first thing Paul asks for the church, he says, please pray for my safety and my deliverance from evil. And there's a bunch of scriptures. They'll come up now. Join me in my struggle by praying, Paul says. Well, how can I partner? How can I be part of the apostolic call? I kid you not, we need, the teams that are going out need people to be joining our struggle in prayer. So it's one thing to say, we glibly throw it out there. We're just going to go, and now we have on offer at hand, thousands of churches around the world who are saying, please, could you come and teach us about grace? Please, could you come and explain the gospel? Please, could you talk about church government? Right now, we have thousands of churches who are asking. And so now we'll just go there. No, there's some pushback. I think the enemy is going to go, oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, you know, you guys have got a good message. Go right ahead. No, so Paul says, join me in my struggle. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Pray that I may be kept safe, he says. In Romans 15, in 2 Corinthians 1, he says, I've been delivered from peril as you helped me by your prayers. Philippians 1, he said, my deliverance came through your prayers. 2 Thessalonians 3, pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people. That's not a small ask. Paul keeps going, hey, church, you can partner, you can join, you can be with us in the apostolic call by your prayers. Don't tell me your prayers are not significant. Don't tell me that that's not a key issue. Oh, well, you know, I'm just praying. No, that's not a just anything. Your prayers are significant. I kid you not. We go out there. The amount of people that I talk to, talk to the Graham Cooks and the Leif Hetlands and the Johnny and Elizabeth Enlows, just the people that we've connected within the last 6 months to 8 months. We just talk to them about the what it costs them to go and pray. I'm not talking about finances. I'm talking about just the sheer press against them. We need people to pray. Seriously, it's not like this is a nice to have. This is an imperative. Need you praying. Pray for safety and deliverance. Secondly, pray for a way to be made. See, people think, well, you know, if you're just a gifted enough communicator, the doors will fling wide for you. No, they won't. 1 Thessalonians 2. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again, but Satan blocked our way. So he jumps to the next chapter. Paul says, now may our God and Father himself and the Lord Jesus Christ clear the way for us to come to you. Colossians, pray for us that God may open a door for our message. Philemon 1, pray that I be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Hebrews 13, I particularly urge you to pray so that I can be restored to you. A way needs to be made. We just think, well, here's a message and here's people who need to hear it, but a way needs to be made. What should I pray for, Greg? Well, pray for our safety, the people who go, and pray that a way be made. Sometimes the doors open up and you go, yes, we're coming, and then the doors close down again. You go, what happened? Well, we need prayers. Pray for favorable reception. Pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, Paul said. Romans 15, pray that we may be favorably received. You know why such a key word for Paul? Because everywhere he went, he wasn't favorably received. There was a riot and they wanted to kill him. Paul said, guys, could you just pray? I just want to go somewhere where they go, hey, it's nice to see you. Pray for me. Pray for me. You know, when you go places like we do and we start to preach the gospel of grace, the people who have been preaching legalism for years are threatened by that. When you go like we do and we preach a style of government that is not, you have no authority to lord it over God's people, the people who have been lording it over God's people are not your friend. So we're not playing games here. I need people to pray with us. And your prayers are just as important as the person who stands up and preaches. We partner. We have to partner. This is not a one or two people deal. This is why the Lord's going, I'm giving the church time to catch up with the apostolic call on the house. We've got to get ourselves a little more organized than we have been. We need to pray. We need to get on our faces. Prayer meetings. Some people come, yeah, it didn't do much for me, the prayer meeting. I'm not supposed to do anything for you. You need to go wash in the pool of Siloam. You still think the prayer meeting's about you. I'm just going to move right on from there. I couldn't think of a way to be gracious with the next thing I was going to say. Pray for clear proclamation. Because, you know the gospel. You can just, and Paul said, no, pray that I can proclaim it clearly as I should. Pray that words be given to me. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. For those of you who preach, you know a little bit about that. You get up in front of a large group of people and there's some people in there and they just want to kill you. Psalm, I mean, I've literally preached where people are shaking their head at me. In the middle of the sermon. No. And you have to proclaim clearly and fearlessly without picking a fight. I'm not trying to win an argument with a single individual, but I need to deliver something of what God's given me. I've sat with key leaders in the church who are about to preach error and have had to say to them, to their face, you're out of line. And when you do that, you face the ostracism. Because they're famous, and you know they're in the who's who book, and you're in the who's he book, right? You know the difference. Like, but they're out of line. Yeah, out of line. And the Lord says, tell them. You go, Lord, but if I tell them, pray that I may proclaim it fearlessly as I should. Pray that the fear of man doesn't own me. Pray that the consequences of what the world will threaten has no impact on me. I will do whatever my Father, the world must learn. I love my Father. I'll do whatever he tells me. Pray, Paul said, for me, for that. And then he just said, pray for us. I think it was Thessalonians and Hebrews. He just ran out of just, pray for us. What about just pray? I don't know. You can partner by prayer. I hope I've made the point that it's not insignificant to me. It's a precious commodity. It has power. It has power to move people, to open doors, to release glory. Your prayers in an apostolic call on this house are key. Maybe you can't go. Maybe you're in a season of life where that's not possible for you. Well, then join us. Partner by prayer. Partner by groaning. The second way you can partner is by giving. Partner by giving. Philippians 1, Paul says, in all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. See, Paul said to the Philippians, you partnered in the gospel with me. How did they partner with him? Well, the Philippians are one of the first churches that said, you know what, Paul, we need to support this guy, because Paul was a tent maker. Paul worked all day and then preached at night. And Paul was one of those obnoxious people who wouldn't eat any of your food. If Paul came to your house and you gave him some food, he'd leave like a 20 buck under the plate, because Paul said, this was my boast. I never ate anybody's food without paying for it. He said, lighten up a little, Paul. He goes, no. My own hands paid for my needs, not you. You didn't pay for me, I paid for me. And that was all very noble. But then Paul couldn't always, because half the time he was in jail. So he couldn't work. And then half the time he just got kicked out of the city with nothing. They stoned him and left him for dead, so he didn't have anything with him. So the churches said, we'll pay for his medical fees and we'll pay for his transport. And so churches began to partner with Paul in paying for his apostolic travel and paying Paul whenever he could, whenever he was not in jail, worked. He said, No, I got this. I'll work. I'll pay my own way. But there were times when churches partnered with Paul and they paid for him to go to another church. And so Philippians 4, he says, it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For when I went to Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is what may be accredited to your account. I have received full payment and have had more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to them and said, thank you. You partnered with me in the gospel, in this gift of giving and receiving. I said to myself, there are some people who get invited to conferences in the West where they fly you business class and they take you to the fancy green room and then they pay you a big honorarium and they put you up in a 5-star hotel. Our apostolic call so far has not included that. We fly, you know, with the back of the plane with a kettle and then, and In just about every time we've traveled this year, it's cost us. We went to Africa. Out of your generosity, we paid for the hall that we hired, and we paid for the food. Thank you for your generosity. If the Lord is willing, we go to India. Now, we're going to the poorest of the poor. We're not going to the guys who got extra cash. We're going to people who barely can get to the meeting. They're asking me, is there some way you guys can make a contribution just to help us with pay food? Africa next year. If money was your goal, this is not a great career path. Like this is not the way. But Paul said it's not the children who pay for the parents. The parents pay for the children. Part of our apostolic call, part of our mandate, part of the reason India is opening and Africa is opening and the many, many different countries is because we're not saying, hey, you, if you don't pay, we're not coming. We only go to the fat cat places where they can give us fat cat honorariums. We go wherever the Lord opens the door. And most of the time that means that we, in our experience in the last 15 years, 70% of the time, 80% of the time, when we go, it costs us, not them. You know what? That's okay. Romans. There's no more work for me in these regions. Since I've been longing for years to visit you, I plan to do so when I get to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and then have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company a little while. Paul made plans. Because, hey, guys, I'm going to come. While I'm there, I'm going to work my tail off, and I'm not going to charge you anything. But if you guys could help me get on, because I got these places I need to go, and if you could help me with the apostolic travel, that would be helpful. Can I just say something to the church? What's really helpful to us is that you celebrate with us when we're called to go. That you don't whine, where's Greg and Michelle? Why are they never in church? I don't know why this is so good. It's unhelpful because it's contrary to the word of the Lord. Do you know what I mean? I'm picking a fight. I'm just going. But this is what the Lord has said. Not just us. Many, many of us are going to travel. Where's all the people going? We're going where the Lord's calling us to go. But it's costing us money. Yeah. It's going to cost us. Because if you want to go only where people will pay you, then there's a very, very limited amount of people on the earth. The top 2 or 3% of the financially wealthy can afford to pay you and bless you and give you rich honorariums. And that's wonderful. Praise God. My experience, most of it is not that. Most of it is not that. And there's some people here, you may not be able to go, but you may be able to partner with us financially. And unashamedly, I say that's something that you should do. You should be generous in that. Because Paul said, this is a fragrant offering to the Lord. It's an acceptable sacrifice. You can partner with us by going. Groaning, giving, and going. Paying, praying, playing. You know, you study Paul, you figure out very quickly that he traveled with a lot of people. And while the book of Acts, Luke travels with Paul, and Luke is the guy who writes the book of Acts, so he basically travels with Paul and he writes Paul's story. But in Paul's story, you see many, many other people who are traveling with him, other people. Some of them are apostles in their own right. Some of them are people who are traveling on Paul's apostolic team. They themselves are not apostles, but they travel with him. They caught the apostolic mandate from him, and they said yes. And so let me just read, you can partner with us by going. I think there are teams of skilled people are going to go. Some medical people are going to go help with medicals, missions as we go and preach. Some of us are going to be in tents just helping the sick because there's no medical anywhere near them. Some of us, some business people are going to go help people establish good businesses and good business practices. Some ladies are going to help us go and just teach young women how to walk well, how to walk in, as the scripture says, the older woman should teach the younger woman how to walk well in their homes, how to live well. Some of us need to teach some basics about budgeting and about, we need everybody. Come with us. Next year, September, if the Lord is willing. Come with us to Africa. Will there be 5-star hotels? Probably not. Will I have to eat weird food? Probably. A great story to tell your kids. Will you see the power of God and lives transform? Guaranteed. Timothy, my co-worker, sends you greetings. Greet Andronicus and Junior, who've been in prison with me. I urge Titus to go with Epaphras, our fellow servant, Tychicus, our dear brother, my fellow prisoners, Aristarchus and Mark, Epaphras, Philemon, our dear friend, fellow worker, Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, Epaphras, fellow prisoner. I think he just invited us to go into prison with him. I'd like to close because we're running a little late. But I wondered if you would just dare with me to take 2 minutes to pray for a nation that is not our own. We are called out to our nation. It's what an honor to be, in my opinion, it is an honor to be an American. Greatest nation on the earth, in my opinion. But it is on the earth. It's not the kingdom. But it is a joy and an honor to be an American. But our call is not just to this nation. Our call is to the nations of the world. There are people out there who are hurting that we can help. So I have a world map, and I have a list of all the nations in the world. I'm just going to ask the projection team. They're just going to put it up 5 seconds. We can go to the next one. Just put 5 seconds on each. And I want you to just pick out a country, if you can. And in just a little while, we're going to pray for them. There's a lot of countries out there. There's a lot of nations who don't have what we have. Don't have the clarity, don't have the infrastructure, don't have the political system, don't have a legal system. They're not free from superstition. I wonder if you would just join me. Pick one of those countries. And just between the Lord and you, say, Lord, help us with this nation. Give me a heart for that nation. Give us open doors. Pray that a way be made. A year ago, I began to ask the Lord for specific nations. Ask of me the nations, he said, and I'll make them your inheritance. I'm asking for nations. Ask the Lord for a nation. Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name to give credence to the apostolic call. Lord, this is our way of saying yes. We join, Lord, the inheritance of Jesus, which you said we're co-heirs of. You said to your son, ask of me and I'll make the nations your inheritance. And Lord, as a co-heir with Jesus, we come to you to ask for the nations. Lord, you've put nations on our heart. I pray that those nations, Lord, that jumped up in our spirit, I pray right now, we begin to call on your name. Give us the nations, Lord. Give us impact into the nations. Give us an open door into the nations. Give us the leadership of the nations, Lord. Give us an open door into governments, into kings, into people in high authority, high officials, wealthy people. Lord, give us an open door into significance and influence in the nations. We call on your name. Won't you just lift up that nation that's on your heart, or nations maybe, just for the next 30 seconds, ask the Lord to give you an open door in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we say yes. Yes to your call. Yes to your heart. Yes to your spirit. This world will learn that we love you. We'll do whatever you ask. In Jesus' name, amen.